Admit it.
Toucher.
It turns you on.
Enrich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. We have to have ourselves on TV in the studio, which is something we never do because we're monitoring the J.D. Martinez press conference and just want to hear him asked about his foot and what the situation with that is. A DA actually calling in and requesting that that be the first question. He's on conference call.
Mr. Martinez... I heard that you had a footsie problem. Can we test it? Would you mind stepping in this jello mold?
By the way, give Jared Carrabba's credit because he's, once again, first guy to call this was going to happen this morning.
All right, I guess we're 10 seconds away.
Let's do it.
Danny, you tell me when to go.
Two hours ago, or a short moment ago, we announced the signing of J.D. Martinez for a five-year contract. This morning, we're fortunate enough to have J.D. here, along with his agent, Scott Boras, Red Sox president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski, and manager, Alex Cora, to take your questions. But before we begin with questions, I'm going to turn it over to Dave Dombrowski for some remarks.
Come here or go there?
Stay there.
Okay, I'll stay here then. Good morning. Thanks for everybody for coming. This is a big day for the Boston Red Sox organization. We're thrilled to be here. It's been a time period. We've had a lot of discussions, a lot of talk, but it's come to a fruitful end, and we're absolutely thrilled. A couple of thank yous before any introductions is I want to thank our ownership, John Henry, Tom Werner, Mike Gordon, for their support to make this happen. As always, they back us to try to give us whatever we can to provide a winning club, championship caliber type club for the city of Boston and our fans. Thank you to one of my assistants, Brian O'Halloran, who worked endless hours in trying to get this done for hours and hours put in, way beyond the call of duty what he did. So a great appreciation there. Appreciation to our doctors, our medical team who worked with us in arranging a lot of appointments and just getting this thing done. They put in endless hours and tried to educate me as much as possible. A thank you to Scott for, again, his endless hours in trying to get this done. So we're at a point now where we are ready to move forward. I think all of our off-season work is done as far as preparing people for our ball club. It's been a little bit different spring where we have been dominated by conversations to bring people on board, first Eduardo and now J.D. So I'm absolutely thrilled to be in the spot, and I will be in a position where I can make a great presentation. So, welcome J.D. Martinez to the organization. J.D., congratulations.
Thank you.
And let's give you something you can wear here.
There we go.
Well, let's start with this. This looks good. Go. And here's Alex Cora's old number that he's happy to give up. So here you go. Sorry. No, take your time.
Awkward. Everyone's looking.
Yeah, you normally don't dress in front of everybody. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Jamie?
Go ahead.
No, I just want to thank, Dave and Scott and, the Red Sox organization for having me. It's been a long process, and, I'm happy to just to put everything behind me and be here today, and I can finally go out and just play baseball. So I'm excited. I'm excited for the task at hand. I know this, you know, historic franchise and this organization, and, you know, winning is number one, and bringing a championship back to Boston is the ultimate goal, and I'm happy to now be a part of it.
Okay, with that, we can begin with the question and answers. If you have a microphone, please raise your hand if you have a question. Starting with the back and run back.
Yes, JD. How much damage do you expect to do at Fenway Park? And could you talk about the Red Sox lineup?
I'm expecting hopefully do a lot of damage. You know, that's the game plan coming in. You know, as far as the Red Sox lineup goes, you know, it's a strong lineup. It's a good lineup. You know, I've been looking at them, checking them out, and, you know, kind of just studying them, obviously playing against them with Detroit. You know, they got guys with a lot of speed, guys that get on base, guys that can really move around the bags and, you know, produce runs very quickly. And I'm happy to be a part of that now.
Yes, can any of you discuss what the hang-up was of the last few days and how that got resolved?
Well, we can. We had, first of all, anytime you do something like this, it's you're very thorough with all of your conversations. We also, I will say, some of it, at this time of year, you're in a spot where everybody's not in one place for your physical. So JD actually did fly to Boston at one time to be checked out there because we just didn't have all the doctors here that we needed to. And then it was a matter of being in a position to for us to kind of complete the language in the contract.
And that language was to protect the team from any injury, past injury?
Language was basically to protect all sides in doing that and come up with the right language, which isn't always easily done. And there were a lot of people that really worked on that from Scott's perspective and from our club's perspective.
Sean, over here on the right.
JD, I was wondering if you could talk about it was 3.5 months to reach agreement here in the offseason and then another week for this to get finalized and made official. How unnerving has this winter and offseason and process been for you?
There were times, you know, obviously where we thought about it a little bit, but the good thing is that, you know, we talked to Scott and, you know, I trusted my talent. You know, I knew what I could do and I knew, you know, what I bring to the table and kind of just helped me just relax a little bit more. But, I mean, there were times we thought about it, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's you know, it's part of the negotiations, part of the process type deal. But, you know, I'm here now and I'm ready to get it going.
Pete, right here in front, all right.
JD, how do you see yourself fitting into this lineup? And you haven't had a lot of games as a DH, but that could be the case here. And what about going through that?
You know, it's baseball, really. I'm just kind of thinking about it. Just take it how I take it every game, how I've been playing this game for, you know, since I was a kid, and continue to do the same routine I've been doing, you know, whether it's DHing or playing the outfield. You know, that was part of the, you know, part of the deal coming in, you know, is knowing that I am going to play the outfield, but I am going to DH at times too. And, you know, I just kind of just do the same thing I've been doing, really.
Okay, Evan on the left.
JD, what's your expectation, understanding of the Boston market? Do you look forward to the scrutiny? Was that something you researched and talked about with players? I think David Price said he talked to you at one point.
Me and David really never really talked about that exactly. We kind of just talk about the fans and, you know, how kind of exciting it is to play there. You know, David's always spoken, you know, very well of, you know, very highly of the Red Sox and especially like the fan base and pitching in that ballpark and how fun it is to go out there every day and play every day. So that's kind of, you know, with talking to Alex and stuff like that about going out there every day, and it's almost like a, you know, Monday football has Monday night. They say in Fenway, it's every night's like Monday night football over there. So I'm excited. You know, I love this game. I love to play and to play in front of fans that are just as passionate and that love it just as much. It's exciting.
Back to Johnny.
That's right, J.D. Can you talk about some of the adjustments you had made in the last few years to get where you are now in your offensive production?
You know, 4 years ago, 2013, I believe, going into 14, I kind of realized I had to make a change, and I really just kind of dedicated myself and really dove into the whole, you know, what makes other players good and kind of why can I be that good type deal. And I kind of just started uncovering, you know, little pieces, and really kind of just the lights came on for me. I started noticing things that I never noticed before and started making adjustments, tweaks, and then one thing led to the next, and I kind of was onto something. I felt like I was onto something. I wrote it out, and here I am today.
And one more time.
Yes, Alex, what's your reaction to the signing, finally?
I was able to talk to JD in December, and yesterday we finished our conversation. This is a kid that he's passionate about the game. I've been telling everybody about the 24-hour, seven days a week experience in Boston, and he will enjoy that because he really cares about baseball. He enjoys it, and I think he's as passionate as I am. So it's a great fit, obviously. We got another great athlete in our ball club, versatile too, that he's going to help us, you know, to win ball games. So I'm glad that it happened. I'm happy, and now we can move on.
David, you and I have talked about your dad coming to this country and flipping pizzas at Domino's Pizza to support your family. And now you have this moment, which is what every ball player works for, free agency and signing a big contract. What does this mean to you and your family?
Oh, man, it's huge. You know, my family's, my dad and my mom are there. And I honestly, like, you know, the sacrifice and the dedication that they've put in to, you know, raising me and being where I am today is, you know, second to none. You know, I thank them every day. You know, they're my best friends. They're not just my parents. And, you know, it's huge for them to come over from another country at such a young age and to have the success that they've had personally, not just through me, is it's unbelievable. It's inspiring. It really is.
J.D., when you walked out of the Astros clubhouse in Kissimmee in 14, you didn't look particularly worried or scared, but would you have thought that you'd be in this position now, 4 years later, with this kind of contract?
You know, we were actually talking about that on the way over here. You know, me and my parents, like, who would have thought? And it's a blessing. You know, I got to thank God for it, and I thank him every day for it. And, you know, if I wouldn't have thought that, you know, 4 years ago. But, you know, as I began to learn and I remember when I got released and I was walking out of that clubhouse and everyone's kind of just, you know, kind of telling me like, hey, man, it's okay, this and that. Like, I don't know, I felt such a confidence because I kind of knew what I've worked on and what I kind of discovered. And I remember saying to everyone, I was like, I'll be back, don't worry, like, I'll be all right. And, you know, it was in God's favor where he just kind of led me down this road and led me to the story, and I wouldn't change it for anything.
Nick on the left.
Scott, hope you enjoyed your stay in Fort Myers.
Lovely.
Yeah. Was this negotiation tougher than you thought from the outset?
Well, I'm not sure tough is the word. It's really these negotiations are more of a cooperative venture, because you're dealing with medical, legal. The idea that the goal is common, very mutual. We all wanted to execute an agreement that we all thought was in the best interest for both JD and the Red Sox. Dave and I have known one another a long time, and we've gotten to know each other a lot better over the last 5 days.
and that says a lot.
That says a lot, yeah. And, but the idea of it is really is clarity. You really have to go through every step of this and be very clear so that each of the parties understand the dynamics of you know, what is clear medically, what is clear legally, and that process took its course, and there was good faith intent throughout of it. It was not an adversarial process. It was a process of understanding. So through that, we were able to come to an accord.
Brian, Dave, you made an effort last year, obviously, to get back under the luxury tax threshold and to, you know, reset the penalties and all that. How did that process?
All right, when Scott Boras is talking, that's what it's
yeah.
It
did.
Don't know why he's sitting there, but all right.
It is like when they take a middle school cafeteria and move the chairs out of the way and allow people to talk when it's like an NAA draft or when it's a baseball draft.
Why has no one asked about the foot? Like, what was found in the physical? Isn't that a fair question to ask?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's not fair. it's not fair at the height. Boy, they really did it up there in that room at JetBlue Park. They're doing this in the room where it's the cafeteria.
Yeah, where the media eats lunch, yes.
Well, fantastic. Somewhere, Charlie Weiss is saying, I'm lucky you didn't do this at a Patriots place. I'm sitting this one out.
Somebody's got to ask about the foot.
All right. Well, I could listen to this all day, but I choose not to.
Thursday morning at 9.
Good morning, Frederick.
Toucher and Rich talk basketball with the Celtics president of operations, Danny Ainge. Brought to you by GE, official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you like talking now?
Toucher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. We bagged out of the J.D. Martinez thing because it was boring.
And I'm glad we did because during the commercial break, nothing of substance was asked. Two questions that I would have asked within the first, right away. Number one, what did you find in his physical? And number two, there are reports that the holdup was regarding his foot. What can you tell us about the reports? Nobody's asking about the foot. Nobody's asked about what they found in the physical. Isn't that kind of the question that everyone wanted to know the answers to? Over the last several days, what's the holdup?
Even if
there's language and stuff like that. No. This doesn't always happen this way. There were reports that it's the foot, that there's issues with his foot, and you had to change the contract language because of that to protect yourself. No one has asked that question. How great is it be to hit Fenway Park? What do you think about the old
Park? Where are you hitting them in the order?
David Price apparently told you how much all of us suck. What do you got to say about that? Yeah, he said that everyone's great. Yeah. I mean, this is really a gigantic bag of grab ass. And I know this isn't like Tim Russert, go get him, but ask him about the foot.
The fro is missing. I haven't heard any squishing or rubbing against the mic.
Yes. The reporters get caught up in the enthusiasm and optimism of spring training, I'm telling you.
I guess.
It turns into the grass is never greener, everybody's in the best shape of their lives. They get all whipped up on it, too, during spring training.
Yeah, and
I can see it right now.
And I don't even want to be like, but that's the first legit question you should ask. Is about the reports that his foot's messed up, and that's what was holding up the contract, and no one's asked that.
All right, well, good. I'm glad that we bagged out of that voice.
Yes, I am too.
That voice we're hearing from Joe Haggerty. It says Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports Boston. He's in studio. Why? Because the Bruins actually made a big acquisition at the deadline. Rick Nash. You remember Rick Nash being a dominant forward when he was in Columbus. Then he went to the Rangers. He's declined a little bit. He's 33 years old. He's a rental, and they had to give up a 2018 first-round pick. They had to give up a defensive prospect named Ryan Lindgren, and 2016 second-round selection. Then they give up Spooner, and they got to get rid of Bilesky. So I'll start with the...
Don't forget about the seventh-round pick in 2019, too, Fred. That was huge.
I apologize for that. All right, so Ryan Lindgren, what do we know about him, and where did you think he was going to be penciled into this lineup, and when?
Ryan Lindgren, probably a couple of years from now, would have been able to play a good leadership, toughness, stay-at-home kind of guy. Not a lot of offense there. A left shot, the fact that they drafted another left shot, stay-at-home guy in Euro Vakanainen in the first round this year, you know, they had a surplus of those left shots. They traded Robbie O'Gara. They've now traded Lindgren, who is a prospect in the system. So he could have been a good sort of leader, alternate captain type, a tough kid, a character kid that would be in your lineup, like a player you want to have, but not a high-end prospect. You're talking probably bottom pairing, maybe number three, number four defenseman, certainly not a top pairing kind of guy. So not somebody you want to lose, and certainly Don Sweeney, In talking to him, he did not want to give him up, as he does not want to give up any of these young prospects that he's built up. But I think you can be okay with that to upgrade in the playoffs here.
There's a lot of people who have criticized Nash about his, checking out, being engaged. I've heard that word. Sometimes he's engaged, sometimes he's not. And when he is, obviously he's excellent. And when he's not, he just seems to disappear. But you had something about his last several times in the playoffs and a couple stats that kind of should make Bruins fans feel a little bit better about that argument.
His last three playoff runs with the Rangers, 10 goals, 23 points, I believe it was 39 games, something like that, which it projected out over a full season's 20 goals, 60 points, somewhere in there, which, you know, is not dominant by any means, yeah, but is a guy that's going to be able to contribute offensively and going to be able to kick in and do things, and certainly much better than what he was earlier in his career, where he did not do well in the playoffs at all, and the stats were not good when he was with Columbus early on. So I think as he's gotten older and matured, he's figured out how to turn it on a little bit in the playoffs and be a little bit more of a factor and use some of those skills to be a factor. You know, a big power forward, big heavy guy, certainly has all the skill in the world, can skate pretty well, mm-hmm, for a big 6'4", 215-pound guy. So that's all good. My other thing with him is I kind of liken this a little bit to the situation with Phil Kessel in Pittsburgh, where, you know, when it was all on his shoulders, when he had to be one of the best players, I don't think he was built for that. He's kind of a laid-back guy. I don't think he performed well in that situation, just like I don't think Phil Kessel performed well necessarily in those kind of situations. You put him to a team where he's third, fourth banana, third, fourth, fifth best player on the team, and he's just expected to go out there and score a little bit with David Krejci and not, you know, be a dominant force. I think that could unlock him to do a lot more.
And Krejci helps anyone. If you're on a line with Krejci, the way that he distributes the puck,
especially
helps
in the playoffs,
everyone.
Yeah.
And especially a guy like Nash. The most success that he's had is with big power forward types like Jarome Iginla, Milan Lucic, Nathan Horton, those kind of players. Nash definitely fits in that kind of a category. So, you know, you put Nash with Krejci. You could see it last night. Nash had 5 shots on net, a bunch of good scoring chances, didn't score, but you could already see the possibilities of what those two can do together. And if you really start getting that second line online offensively and they start really producing below that top line that's been dominant all year, you're talking about a handful for anybody in the postseason.
And as far as being engaged as well, and once again, I saw that several times being thrown out there.
He's a laid-back guy. He's good buddies with Jumbo Joe Thornton, who's another kind of he's a little bit like that, kind of a laid-back dude, very definitely not intense. And so I think you're going to see a lot of that. And he's going to have to step up and perform to make that go away with Bruins fans.
But contract year, too. That's another thing that would obviously make him step up and be a little more, quote-unquote, engaged.
Which also is, do you think they gave up too much for a rental?
Not in this case, because not only did you get a rental that I think if you put them side by side, if you say you're going into the playoffs and do you want Ryan Spooner on your right side or do you want Rick Nash on your right side with David Krejci, you're going to pick Rick Nash for a number of different reasons. The 400-plus career goals, 800 points. The
fact that he's been played 200 feet.
A top-notch player, yes. The fact that he plays in all zones and competes. And the fact that for a team, their top six on the wings, very young, very undersized, very skill-oriented. You know, they have David Backes on the third line, but they needed another big, heavy body in the top six to go into the playoffs with, and this gives you that. I mean, Butch Cassidy was talking the other day about, you know, putting Backes and Nash in between Krejci and having the two huge wingers on either side.
I heard that, too.
Which could be interesting.
Okay, but isn't that against what's happening in the NHL right now? You know, you're looking for speed, and you're looking for, you know, this two heavy guys between Krejci. Isn't that kind of counterintuitive at this point, the way the NHL has played?
It can be, but I think he was talking about doing that according to matchups. Like, if you're against a bigger, more physical team, you might go in that direction. And certainly in the playoffs, I think something like that plays a little bit more than it does in the more wide-open, you know, regular season. I don't think he would go to it all the time, but I think the point he was making is that it gives him a lot of different options. Nash can play on either wing. There's a lot of different things that he can potentially do. So, you know, as I was saying before, Nash is an upgrade over Spooner. That's part of the trade. The other part of the trade and what they gave up is they got all this cap space by unloading the Matt Bolesky contract, which is a huge part of it. They have $17 million in cap space next year. So they've got some flexibility to be able to do some things now, which is good. And I think that was a big component of this deal as well. So it was good for the right now, and I think it's also good long term.
Well, are you going to explain what you're wearing?
It's a Carolina Mudcats Star Wars jersey with a the rightful Princess Leia with the
the not CGI
the hair faced. Buns. Yeah, this is not Mary Poppins flying Princess Leia from The Last Jedi. This is the real deal, Princess Leia.
No, you wore that on the plane.
That was a powerful scene, you jerk.
Did you like that?
It's a powerful scene.
Oh, stop it.
That scene was pretty stupid.
Horrendous scene.
Great movie. Stupid scene.
Terrible scene. Did you see that I got in a tweet beef with Rian Johnson about that, the director?
Did you really?
Oh, I did.
The director of the last Star Wars movie?
I said something about flying Mary Poppins Leia, and he responded to me, and we went back and forth.
What did he say?
I'd have to go
How long
and look,
did it take
it pretty
for
good.
The erection to go down?
4 hours.
Okay. So it was like nerd
Viagra. And I did not
nerd
have to
Viagra.
See a doctor.
I didn't know you
it
got
was
a
definitely
fun,
nerd
You
Viagra.
Got a Twitter fight with the director of the last Star Wars movie?
I
okay,
did.
Well, you
got to
pull that
up.
I want to see that.
That's great.
Because, listen, I love that movie. That scene was dumb.
It was.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Sure was.
He was going for huge emotion there, and he wanted to be this moving thing, and people were laughing at it.
Even in theater, most Kelly are like, what are we
floating through the air? We went one step too far here with Mary Poppins.
They showed that movie like 85 times in the theater on the boat, and I went to look at it one time, and I was trying to get into the theater, and the doors were locked to the theater, and then this woman said, you know, this door is open. Maybe if you didn't have so much to drink, you would have figured that out. And I said,
you're probably right.
No.
So it was a good vacation then, friend.
No, I said, you're someone I want to party with, honey. And then I walked in. And then I realized it. Then it took me 20 minutes to realize it was in 3D, so I had to leave. It's the honest to God truth.
So it was a good vacation.
That was it. They showed Black Panther, which I wanted to see 10 times, but
it was fantastic, Black Panther.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it, but like.
Well, it wasn't my favorite Marvel movie, but it was good.
People are making that out to be like it's the greatest film, and it's fine. It's like middle of the road Marvel, which is saying a lot because Marvel's. Really, I mean, their movies are high quality.
Right.
Middle of the road. I can name right now 7 or 8 Marvel movies better than that one.
You know what the best thing on the boat was, and I'm not being sarcastic?
What's that?
Bingo.
Oh, yeah.
Bingo was my favorite part of that vacation.
Really? The old stamper?
No, they got an electronic now. I dropped like $400 on bingo while I was on the boat.
Did you win, ever?
Oh, no. It's Fred.
All right.
Until I hear the headlines.
Jerry Rabbit.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports Boston on.
Hey, you missed a very spirited debate on.
It was full on geek talk right here. The Fred wanted nothing to do with.
No, you lost me completely.
I said Black Panther is middle of the pack Marvel, and then Joe Haggerty is like, well, what are you saying? It's a great movie, and then I named about 10 Marvel movies that are better. He's like, oh yeah, I get you. Right.
Well, I can easily name 5. I'd say it's in my top 10. But
Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah. Civil War,
Avengers,
Winter Soldier. Yeah, I'd even put Ant Man up there. Spider Man Homecoming.
We disagree on Doctor Strange.
I love Doctor Strange.
We're like two splitting.
Visually amazing.
Ways.
So
it's obviously both racist.
Black Panther's not that great of a character. It's like this. See, Spider-Man with a cool suit
coming through full bore.
Yes, it is.
No, but yes, I'm glad that you guys have seen all these movies and that you can debate them. And now we've talked about this before, Mr. Haggerty, but you are wearing a Star Wars themed. Is that a
minor league baseball? Yes.
And you have how many of those?
I have many.
Okay, so you will not give a specific number because Rich,
I've never counted them.
Okay. Joe Haggerty.
Who's that?
Joe Haggerty.
They're hidden in the back of the closet, too.
This sounds like something out of an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. Joe Haggerty, and this is true, is so wealthy that he has to hide his collection of jerseys from his wife because if she found him, she would get on him for wasting all that money. Is that not true?
I think it's less wealth and it's more my wife just is very strict with the purse strings. I think it's that more than
that. So this is your one thing that you splurge on?
Yes, correct.
Now, absolutely. Are these available online, or do you force yourself to go to the various parks?
No. There's online. They're all online auctions for charitable causes.
Oh.
So it's it's a humanitarian cause in addition
right.
to being a
Fred,
collector.
You heartless bastard. Oh, yeah, because there's no other way to give money to charity. You have to buy a Star Wars theme.
Hey, I just like to get something in exchange for my charitable.
He's giving back is what he's doing.
There's
giving back
I like
Star Wars
uniforms. It's a mutually beneficial relationship,
this doesn't have anything to do with Joe, but that's the same thing with when people go like, They'll put out some like garbage album that you know is just hyping themselves, and they'll go, but the proceeds, and you'll make fun of them. They'll go, but the proceeds go to charity.
You heartless bastard.
No, then give money to charity. you don't have to put out some self-serving, masturbatory piece of garbage under the guise that it's going to charity. You wanted to do this.
Okay, I just found the argument between Joe Haggerty and the director of the last Star Wars movie.
All right,
movie.
So if you're just joining us.
There it is.
And Joe, you know, Haggerty.
I was going to say, Rich, you weren't going to have to go very far.
It's a
Twitter
tattoo
moments.
On his ass.
I made Twitter moments when it happened, so Joe, I knew you were going to have to
Well, I don't even know what that is, but Joe Haggerty has tattooed this conversation on his ass.
Yes,
but Joe
has.
Haggerty,
I dream about it at night, Freddie, too.
All right, so Joe Haggerty had made a statement about the new Star Wars. Yeah. Did you put him on it?
I did not. He found it.
Oh, boy. Oh, these guys are so insecure.
Oh, yeah. He's very insecure.
Well, you retweeted something of his.
Oh, I did. I quote tweeted.
Yeah, you quote tweeted. So you get notice of that. So Rian Johnson, the director, was taking pictures.
Not the guy who didn't get the job doing the Bruins game.
No. Not Rian Johnston. Yes. Okay. No. Rian Johnson.
Thanks for clearing that up, Fred.
The director of the last Star Wars movie was taking pictures of, like, the Jedi notebook of people who are complaining about the certain powers of the Jedi. There's all you need to know, Fred, is there's a scene in the movie where a spaceship blows up and Princess Leia's on the spaceship and she's in space and then she just slowly starts floating towards back to the spaceship and flies back into it and she's alive.
And looks like Mary Poppins. She's like flying like this. It's really weird.
Is she already dead in this thing or is
no,
she?
No, she's alive. At this point. So she blows up but then she like floats back down and she's alive.
But this is not the corpse of Carrie Fisher.
No. This is actually she's alive.
She was alive during all of the filming of the movie.
Oh.
Yes. So.
But not for any of the promo tour.
No, she was dead for that, Fred. Not doing the rounds on the Today Show.
But maybe they could have brought her.
So Joe Haggerty tweets with that picture of Rian Johnson looking in the book. Goes, anything in there on Mary Poppins, Leia? Thanks, asking for a friend. And Rian Johnson responds, boing. I never really understood the complaint. Can you articulate it for me? Is it just that Leia shouldn't be able to use the Force? And then Joe Haggerty, no, not at all. To me, the manifestations of the Force with Leia have always been more emotional than physical. But that wasn't really my issue. The visual of her flying Mary Poppins style and banging on a window to be let back in is more absurd than emotional. I just couldn't connect with it. That being said, I liked the movie. I thought the Luke Skywalker arc was great, and the Kylo Ren storyline was excellent as well. I just didn't love it as a whole, and that's an issue of that scene. Just one person's opinion. And then Rian Johnson comes back, boring. Interesting. I guess the fact that she's in zero G and that space offers no resistance meant to me that it wasn't a big feat at all. Kind of minimal, in fact. And then all of a sudden, everyone starts coming down and saying that. He goes, so this is some other guy named Aaron who just says, I want to be part of this. Thanks for your response. I thought about that, but then I also thought about what kind of physical torment that being in a cold vacuum of space would do when you're trying to channel the Force. How could she focus to do that with so little training?
This is what I checked out of the Twitter conversation.
Yeah. And then Rian Johnson just says, because she's a badass mother effa.
Yes.
And that was like, and it goes on and on and on and on.
And that made news when he said that. People picked up on that.
Oh, hang on.
That language.
And then you jump in, because you say you checked out. I went about 15 down, and you jump back in.
I did.
Someone said Care Bears defeated the Empire, and you put, with twigs and rocks, no less.
A clear critique of Return of the Jedi.
By the way, people who hate Return of the Jedi because the Ewoks suck. They're in for like 10 minutes.
Well, that's how I gauge everyone.
But it should have been the Wookiees. That was originally what it was supposed to be, but they couldn't come up with like 60 billion 7 feet tall people.
So the whole pit of the Sarlacc scene sucks? So the whole end of it?
No.
Jedi's a great movie.
My least favorite of the original three, but I still liked it, of course. But the Ewoks were kind of lame. Taking down the Empire with twigs and sticks and rocks? I don't know. Come on, Rich.
I can't talk to you anymore. Can't talk to you anymore. You've been served by the movie master. Sci-fi is in my blood.
Now, it appears you two have a lot
Rich
in common.
Rich can't even look at me. That's
no,
it.
Not anymore. You've lost all respect. So there you go. You picked a fight with him. So are there any more trade deadline moves before 3 o'clock today?
Wow, that was an awesome segue. You just switched gears like so nine trade cards right there.
I'll trade you a Millennium Falcon. No, they're done. Correct, unless it's something very minor.
Yeah, I don't see them doing much of anything. Like I said, talking to Don Sweeney over the last couple of days, it was difficult, I think, for him to give up Ryan Lindgren in that trade for Rick Nash, and I don't see him giving up any more young players.
No, you have your depth defenseman, you have your depth forward,
yes,
right?
Yes, with Holden and with Gianta and then with Nash. I think they've got everything that they need. It seems like Ryan McDonough is still going to get traded, and maybe...
Is he going to go to Tampa?
It seems like that. Toronto, I think, is in on him a little bit, too.
What about Carlson?
I don't think Carl, you know what? At the end of the day, I don't think Carlson or McDonough are going to move now. I think they're going to move in the summertime at the draft because I think there's too many moving pieces. I think there's too many parts to it. You're going to have more teams that are going to potentially be in the bidding for him in the offseason, more cap space for teams to get involved. I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's too much to do before this afternoon.
If I add Carlson, if I'm a playoff team and I add Carlson, does that, like, even if I'm a low playoff team, does that automatically make me one of the top favorites?
It could. I mean, he's a game-changing player.
No, I know. No question. Ottawa sucked last year, and they made the Eastern Conference
final. He dominated on that run all the way to the conference final. And McDonough's a game-changer in that respect, too, where he's just a frontline guy that if you add him to what you already have, if you add him to what Tampa already has, they become incredibly difficult to beat. Now, it would be hard for the Bruins to beat them.
Would you have the Bruins, would you have not made the Nash trade and made the McDonough trade knowing that what you would have had to have given up?
No.
What do you think you would have had to have
given
up?
I think you would have had to have given up DeBrusk, potentially Carlo, and a high pick. Right. I think you would have had to have given up a ton.
Ooh. Yeah, because that means that you've destroyed everything that you've built over the last couple of years.
I think this team deserves, at this point, after having been the best team in the NHL for the last 3 months, they deserve to see how good they can be down the stretch and into the playoffs. With this team, you add a couple of pieces to it to make it better. Mm-hmm. Do not really take anything away other than Ryan Spooner. See how good they can be, and then you make adjustments after this playoff run is over, and you go from there. But I think they deserve to have a shot right now, and he should not be trading any of the young NHL players from this roster. They're building something really good.
That's why this deal is spectacular.
Yeah.
For both sides. The Rangers can say this guy mammothly underachieved and we got something for him, and the Bruins can say we didn't take out any of our core young pieces.
Taking the result out of it, Don Sweeney did everything that he should have done the right way, and he'd made the right moves going into it. We'll see how it plays out down the stretch and go into the playoffs. But he got done ahead of time. I don't think he severely overpaid. He didn't give up anything that's going to hurt the Boston Bruins in the long run. He made the moves that he had to and the right moves going into this stretch in the playoff
run. All right. Well, Joe Haggerty, pay attention to him on NBC's Boston Sports. And perhaps him and Rich are fighting very publicly on Twitter later this afternoon.
We'll go to the Common and have a role-playing adventure.
I'm going to have to check the transcript so I can take notes on the transcript. This all happens so fast.
Well, all right. Joe, thanks so much for coming in. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
The games are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Zolak is out.
Again?
Is he on vacation?
Yeah.
He's vacation.
Where did he go?
Based on the text, someplace where he's not wearing a shirt. I don't know.
Based on the FaceTime?
Could be anywhere.
It could be his basement.
Home. It could be Montreal.
On the toilet.
someplace warm, no shirt.
Sometimes he has these ideas. Yeah, one time he suggested this place. He couldn't get enough of it. He suggested it. It's one of the worst vacations I ever took. It was a place in Florida that he suggested.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, I have one of those once. I had a buddy recommend this place in the Bahamas that was, he's like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Went down there. It was awful.
Is that the place that I told you was going to be awful?
No. We actually enjoyed that place. Oh. I've been there twice.
Well, you like to gamble.
Was that the place? I didn't even gamble all that much. Did you take the kids there?
Yeah.
Mm. Did your kids like it?
They didn't like the kids there. They were younger, they didn't like the kids area.
All right.
So, I mean, what are you going to do? Go around a lazy river 10 times?
Yeah. That's what they did, and they loved it. Couldn't get enough of it.
All right. Well, you know, the standards are lower, the less intelligent you are.
That's right. I was happy as a clam.
That's right. You're the kind of guy.
You can get ice cream at 10 a.m.? Ooh. I like this place.
On that cruise, I ate pizza every single day because I was so marveled that you could get pizza like 12 hours a day. And they would bring it to your room. I want pizza.
Got my own pizza.
That's right. I've only been on a couple of cruises, and we would do the 3-day porn star cruise to Ensenada when I was living in Vegas.
What's Ensenada?
It's a place in Mexico.
Okay.
It was Extreme Radio was the station, so we did the Triple Extreme cruise.
Oh, so there would be like porn chicks on it?
Yeah, we had Vivid Video.
That was big. That was a big brand back in the
day. Yeah, a few of the girls, and then like you know, the staff, and you know, a few listeners, and we would do that. But I remember you could get room service. It was like part of the package. It was just like, no, if you don't want to, you know, go to the dining hall or whatever it was, just have food sent to your room. It was great.
There's no way that the girls from the adult film stars took money from anyone by escorting on that cruise. I'm going to assume not.
Hand to God, I didn't do anything with any of them. Couple of people who were employed at the radio station did. Mm. And as far as I know, no money exchanged hands.
Because that's the first thing you're going to do is announce, hey, I paid this check.
Right. International waters, is there any kind of law out there regarding that?
I don't know. I don't know from like L.A. down to Ensenada if you actually get out into international water territory. Kind of hug the coastline all the way down.
Sure.
You know, I think we could see land at all times. It's not high end.
Yeah. it was the boat a carnival?
I don't remember.
Oh, you would remember if it was. Because the boats actually spew diarrhea.
Just right out of the back?
Yeah, you see it. And there's vomit and diarrhea.
In its wake.
Yeah. It has one of those things that you'll see on the back of trucks that's like steel testicles. That's on the back of every cruise ship. Come on in. All right. Can I ask? Scott Zolak is on vacation. What can I ask you? You two gentlemen,
what
is going to be going on today? I missed you both so much.
We missed you, although Rich and I had a fine time there a couple of those days. Beetle informs me.
Did you do the snow bit?
No, there was no snow.
No.
It was nice.
When you were gone, it was like 70.
Yeah, no, that sucks. So what you should have done is you should have done it. See, if I was with you, I would have said, like, how about this weather? Would have been the bit.
No, but we actually, I'm still ashamed. The whole weekend I was ashamed. We did a Funny You Should Ask.
Right.
And there was one joke.
All right, test me.
Let me see if it's still in here. Okay.
We were both kicking ourselves for not right. getting this.
I've obviously never seen the show.
Henry Winkler is set to play Bernie Madoff in a new TV special. Isn't that how it was set up?
Henry Winkler will portray Bernie Madoff in an upcoming made-for-TV movie.
Ponzi days.
Come on.
You're almost there.
You're so close.
I said, talk about not so happy days.
Let the hack flow through you. Come on.
It is something Ponzi, right?
Close.
Ponzi Fonzarelli.
Come on.
You're so close.
Okay. Happy days.
It's not Ponzi. It's a...
Henry Winkler of Happy Days
fame
was duped out of $3 million by the infamous Bernie Madoff.
Yes, it was a Fonzie scheme.
You were right there, and it killed me all weekend that we didn't get that.
Wait, I thought you said Happy Days.
No, we said Henry Winkler. It's just like that.
Henry Winkler.
Oh, I thought it was they had already given you Happy Days.
No. No.
No. You had Ponzi, but you just had to make it. When you said Henry Winkler, I thought that the assumption it was Happy Days, so it would be Ponzi Days.
No.
Or Ponzi.
No.
All right.
We were both kicking ourselves for not making the Ponzi Fonzie connection.
I should have played me the clip before. I could have gotten it.
I don't think so. I don't think you would have gotten it.
We'll never know.
I don't think you would have got it.
All right. Very good. All right. What do you guys got going today?
Sports.
All right.
Rick Nash, JD Martinez.
There you have it. Everyone have a great day. That'll do it for us. Bye.